So,
we're back again. Here I am in the Millennium Centre with
Ellie.
And Ellie and I are doing the radio platform course here at the Millennium Centre, run by Promo Cymru and
Radio Platform
themselves, run by a lovely man named Greg and my friend Ariel. So, what are we going to do today?
So, you are going to ask me a few questions about my general interest in sort of everyday topics at the moment. So, topics that affect young people, issues that affect young people on a daily basis, and my opinion on them, really, and
awesome. How
we can go about resolving them.
Right, brilliant. Thanks, Ellie. Okay, we're going to get started now. So, Ellie here tells me one of the things she's most interested in is young people's mental health. So, Ellie, what do you think is perhaps one of the most pressing issues currently affecting the mental health of young people in this country?
A good question. I'd say a big one at the moment is the use of social media and how generally all our social media...
Definitely, social media is like a massive contributor. I mean, the Royal Society of Public Health recently decided that Instagram is apparently the worst thing in the world for people's mental health.
Indeed, yeah.
Or maybe not the world, but it's like it's the worst social network, I believe, as far as I know.
Well, if you look in news even, or look down your Twitter feed during the last few days, you'll see that even the likes of Kanye West has been discussing it. He's been discussing the fact that your likes on Twitter and Instagram make people feel self-conscious and is completely decrediting our self-worth, and that we should completely get rid of this and change followers to observers, for example. So that's quite a big stand.
I'm not really sure what is the difference between followers and observers, really.
I think maybe it's the fact that followers is indicating that someone's more interested in you, whereas observers is just someone browsing your material rather than...
So we're talking about your sort of, well, various, except Kanye's talking about what he would do if he was running Twitter and stuff.
Yeah.
So in your opinion, are there any... what would you do if you were running a social media app?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think a big issue is limiting the amount of time we spend on it, because I feel like that's all young people do at the moment, is we spend every day on our phones and it's taken over our life. We don't live in the real world anymore. So in some way, maybe build on the idea of limiting it. So maybe cutting down the amount of apps that we use as well, because a lot of them are quite repetitive, I feel. So, for example, Instagram's developed from Twitter and Facebook. So maybe, I mean, you can't really... It's difficult to cut them down, but maybe work on that.
Cut them down as in cut down the amount of time people are allowed to spend on these apps? Or do you mean, like, break them up as in, like, make them into smaller sub-communities?
A bit of both, really. The amount of time spent on them, but also maybe... it's quite a big stand there, I guess, to maybe delete Facebook or Twitter. That's quite a big...
The whole thing.
The whole social
network.
Wow,
can you imagine, like...
The backlash I'd get.
I'm thinking more like, would you delete, like, the archives? Or would you just, like, archive them? Is that what you're thinking? Delete all evidence that ever existed.
Yeah, that's quite... Or maybe just ban future use. So you can see archives, but... You can still, but I guess that also disproves the fact that we're trying to rid the followers and observers issue.
It's still quite a nuclear option, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite a big, it's a controversial one, which needs more thought, definitely.
So, like, basically, you're saying now that the current big ones are just not doing it right. So, are there any apps out there that you've heard of, maybe, or just even features of the current apps that are doing it right in any way?
I do like the fact that, for example, well, I do myself like Instagram, and it's the most popular app at the moment, I'd say, form of social media. I do like the fact that they've brought in the new I quite enjoy the new features they bring in. I feel like that is constantly developing these sites. Well, that is the aim of these features. But for example, the new or relatively new Instagram stories that have been introduced do allow you to sort of limit and control who sees your stories. And so that can, that does really work with this idea of followers and observers that Kanye is talking about. For example, you can see who observes you, but it's not public, it's just limited to yourself.
Okay. So one of the other big things that I've always heard, you know, people obsess over on the news, you know, even before the likes of Facebook were around, even before it was just the old internet, they're always worrying about young people coming into touch with bad actors online. It could be paedophiles, there could be something less malicious, it could be anything from somebody who teaches them to become a radical of some kind, or a, I don't know, just sells them some drugs or something, or anything like that. So, obviously, we've also, like at Promo Cymru, famously, we've run The Sprout for 10 years, and that's the whole thing of that is like it's youth work, but through digital means, because that's supposedly where young people are nowadays.
Yeah.
So, have you heard any good examples of, you know, people's lives being enriched through perhaps youth work being done digitally, or anything along those lines?
I'd say one of the main features of connecting with young people online is, or one of the most sort of profound.
All right, so
No, I completely blanked that.
Yeah, I mean, there are obviously famously many, many ways to connect with young people online. So we might move on a bit, I think. We might say, so do you have an interest in
youth work was a good topic.
Youth work. So we'd like to talk about youth work. Okay, so what does youth work mean to you?
Youth work is completely about connecting with the interests and the needs of that young person specifically. So focusing on their needs rather than generalising what you think a young person or young people need today. It's the importance of not undervaluing youth workers as well, and realising that they offer lifelines, they offer a place of safety, and they really do make a difference in young people's lives.
Great. And do you think that, you know, now that you say, as you said, young people are not using real world spaces anymore, and they're hanging out online all the time, do you think people are missing a trick, or is it just that the funding isn't there, or, you know, because clearly people, young people are having a bad time from all the time they spend online. So how can we improve the time they spend online, and is it through traditional methods of youth work being brought online, or should we be inventing a whole new paradigm?
Maybe just work on the idea of work on, so it's social media is a good platform to promote events and promote organizations that can help young people, for example. So it's good on that, it's good in that way for you to spread information, but what we need is people to actually attend these events and organizations, for example, rather than using these materials online. We want them, we want, the information is good, but we want to reduce the amount of chat and online activity. So we need to work on that idea, really.
All right, well, it's been very great to speak to you today, Ellie, and I know that you'd like to speak to me about a few things.
Yeah,
so we're gonna have a short musical interlude, and we will be back with some awesome questions about film. So
great.
See you later, guys.
Thank you. Well, hello. Today we are in the Welsh Millennium Centre, and today I am here with Tom. Say hello, Tom.
Hi, Ellie. It's great to see you again.
And you. Today I have decided to ask Tom a few questions after he's told me one of his interests is in films and general art forms and ways of
communicating a message to the masses.
Yeah, that's the one. taking the words from my throat there. So we're going to start with me asking you, what do you look for in a film, and what type of genre films are you into?
Okay, well, I really enjoy watching films, obviously, but I find I get burned out really fast watching films, which is probably why I don't watch much TV, because TV requires you to watch a lot of it to get much out of it. So I don't find myself watching films very often, so I try to pick a really good film, probably got good reviews, probably going to be quite profound in some way, or be very exciting or kind of innovative in some other way, or maybe it's a classic film I've never seen before. Like, for instance, I've never seen Jurassic Park.
Okay.
That's probably one I should watch at some point.
Yeah.
That's a good example.
Yeah.
A lot of the Stanley Kubrick films, I've never seen them. I'd like to see them at some point, things like that.
Okay.
Yeah, so I try and pick a film that is going to be worth my time, basically, I think.
So, do you not watch TV at all? Do you get quite bored of TV?
I do watch TV. I watched Killing Eve last week. That was really good.
Yeah.
That was one of the best things I've seen. Probably best TV show I've seen since Life on Mars. I'd recommend that one if you've ever seen that.
What stood out for you in Killing Eve?
Oh, Killing Eve. Probably the utterly endless gory violence, which was obviously horrifying, but also, you know, you can't look away.
Yeah.
When I was in church on Sunday morning, yet to watch the final episode, but I'd seen all the others the night before.
Okay.
And I'm there watching the priest, thinking about how somebody could run in and probably assassinate the priest and kill the rest of us pretty easily with, you know, a couple of shotguns and things.
Some interesting thoughts there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that leads me on nicely, actually. So do these films or programs you watch, do they have to have sort of a moral lesson to them, or do they have to be relevant to real life, or can they be animated, or do they have to have a...
Well, animation, I think that's a good question. I think animation often can be, even though animation takes a lot of effort, often it can be the work of basically just one person.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas opposed to even a simple film often has to be the work of many people, like actors and cameramen and such,
yeah.
And they all get a hand in the creative process. So animation can often be very pure, very one man's vision kind of thing, or one woman's vision, of course.
Yeah.
Animation I wouldn't discount, but I love anything I watch to be quite allegorical, and I try and learn things from it and try and become a better person in general.
Okay, and do you feel that, so were you just talking about the difference between films and TV programmes maybe, or what hooks you to films, but would you say that the cinema today, I'm just thinking of the ways we do watch films, whether it's online or TV, would you say that the cinema is nowadays the most exciting art form still?
I think possibly in some ways cinema has lost the way, but because it's so well developed at this point, so for instance, I think a good example would be virtual reality. Like, you're constantly seeing people develop these new virtual reality experiences, but often they do just lack any kind of focus or any reason to actually enjoy it almost. And people just doing it because they can. Whereas film is such a competitive medium, obviously, because it's going for so long and, you know, almost every possible innovation has been done already. Like, I know there's occasionally there'll be a film that does something really weird. Like, a few years ago, there was Hardcore Henry, which ripped the thing from video games where everything was filmed in first person.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, like, Peep Show, the TV show, obviously famously did a lot of that in it as well. But, you know, things like that are very rare nowadays. There's just not that much left to do in film, which means that you're forced to just tell a good story and not just goof about with gimmicks.
Yeah.
I think.
And how do you think that you would sort of transfer the experiences of a particular film into other media? So maybe, for example, everyday news, storytelling or theatre?
Well, obviously, like I said, because film has been going on for so long, they've had to innovate new storytelling techniques because it's such a simple thing, really, at the end of the day. I mean, it's widescreen, in colour, obviously, for the last 60, 70 years, whatever it is. There's not much left to change, really, apart from occasional adding of animation and stuff, which is often not done well. So pretty much every other media today, like video games, for instance, they learn every trick in the book from films.
Yeah.
But they have to learn their own things as well, you know, because they're not films. They have to learn new things.
Well, it seems to be a grown industry and a lot more to learn, and you seem to have a passion about it. And so I'm sure we'll come back to you in a few months' time, and you can update us on any good ratings or any films you've watched.
Yes,
give us some feedback. But great speaking to you in the meantime.
Yeah, lovely speaking to you as well, Ali. It's been nice to see you.
And we'll catch up later. And for now, we will play you our next song. Oh yeah, no, do that.
Thanks for listening to the podcast, guys. We'll have more of this coming up soon. Like I said, Radio Platform's amazing course down the Millennium Centre if you want to come try it out. My plan is to start doing a proper Sprout podcast at some point, but obviously we're still doing this kind of experimental freewheel podcast for now. So yeah, big up to Ellie. She's a really talented young lady. I'm really glad to have met her. And obviously big up to the guys in the Radio Platform as well. We shall be back later on with some more interesting interviews and stuff. See you later.